Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with some samples. So if you have read That Sounds Fun, you probably remember the story of me trying to get a dog and then realizing I was allergic. Sad day. And this is why I'm glad I found Claritin D, because an allergy attack is literally the worst. So I am thankful to have it on hand around my friends, pets, and other things. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin clear with Claritin D. It's designed for serious allergy sufferers, and Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, and itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Amen to that. There are also a lot of seasonal allergy sufferers over here at AFD Inc. and at the That Sounds Fun Network. So Claritin D really works for this crew. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It is time to live Claritin clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. So you can find Claritin D at your pharmacy counter. Just ask a pharmacist for Claritin D at the pharmacy counter, and you don't even need a prescription. Just go to Claritin.com right now and you can get a discount so you can live Claritin clear. Use as directed. Okay, picture the thing that you've always wanted to learn. Maybe it's how to play chess or creative writing or gardening. Now picture learning that thing from the person who's literally the best at it in the world. That is what you get with Masterclass. Masterclass is such an easy way to help you learn more about something you're interested in. You can seriously find classes on everything from turning your passion into achievements with cultural icon Martha Stewart to principles of improv from Amy Poehler. Are you kidding me? Y'all, I did a cooking class with Gordon Ramsay. And it was so much fun. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best and become your best. Masterclass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow with over 200 plus of the world's best. For just $10 a month, an annual membership gets you unlimited access to every instructor. And you can access Masterclass on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even in audio mode. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Don't waste another minute to start your learning journey with Masterclass. Right now, our friends get an additional 15% off of any annual membership at masterclass.com/soundsfun. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/soundsfun. Masterclass.com/soundsfun. Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of That Sounds Fun. I'm your host, Annie F. Downs. I'm really happy to be here with you on a Wednesday. I know, you guys, we just have more friends than we have Mondays and Thursdays. And so a couple of times you are going to see us dropping in these special shows. We did it last Friday with Shane and Shane. We did it a couple of Fridays ago with Jonathan Rumi. And today on a Wednesday, we've got a very special bonus episode for you. Today on the show, I get to talk with my new friends, Chrissy Metz and Bradley Collins. Chrissy Metz, yes, the Chrissy Metz from This Is Us, is an Emmy and two-time Golden Globe nominee, among other acting accolades. And she recently released her memoir, This Is Me, which debuted at number one on the New York Times bestseller list. My girl. She's teamed up with Bradley Collins, a songwriter, entrepreneur, and creative community advocate who is based right here in Nashville. They've written the sweetest picture book called When I Talk to God, I Talk About You. It released on Valentine's Day. I'd love for it to end up in all of my mini BFFs Easter baskets, because the message is so heartfelt and so needed. I know I needed it too. You'll hear me tell Chrissy this, but I think this is one you read one time before you read it with the kids, because it's going to make you cry on your own. So, and y'all, you'll hear it. But we had the actual best time with Chrissy and Bradley when they came by the studio. I cannot wait for y'all to get to know them like this. So here is my conversation with Chrissy Metz and Bradley Collins. Chrissy and Bradley, welcome to That Sounds Fun.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
So nice to meet you.
Not Brad.
Not Brad, Bradley.
Yes. Don't mess with that.
No.
I wouldn't dare.
Although he was called Brad in college, right?
I was called Brad in college, but my pledge class had five other Brads in it, and I didn't want to be like, hey, I'm Bradley.
Right.
So, you know, you don't want all the attention on you. So
right.
I just went with it again.
Oh.
So.
I'm 42. Are we about the same age?
Yeah.
I'm 42.
All
I'm
the 44. Brads. So how many Jasons do we know? How
Lots.
Many Brads do we
Lots.
Know? Jonathans.
Johns. Jonathans. A lot.
So many.
Yeah.
And so many Jennifers.
Yes.
In every class we were in, there was a Jennifer S.
Oh, yeah.
Jennifer M.
Yes. It's so
without
true.
Without fail.
It's so
it won't
funny.
Be long till Bradley and Jennifer are the names that people's like kids have. And
yes.
They're like, my grandparent was named Jennifer. You're like, how's that real? I know. How's that real? That can't be true. I mean, we were in college 20 years ago, you guys.
But that's I didn't even go to college. That's
So you were in college longer than 20 years ago.
I went to the School of Hard Knocks in Los Angeles, California.
That's it. You for sure did.
Yeah, I'm still paying back some tuition.
Yeah, you're right. This is a check I keep writing. Yes. Bradley, where'd you go to school?
I went to Samford University.
Oh, let's go, Bulldogs.
In Birmingham, Alabama.
Yeah, for sure.
Being from Nashville, I went to Harding Academy, then Franklin Road Academy, then Samford.
Okay.
And yeah, I had a great time in Birmingham.
Yeah, it's very I almost went there. I went to University of Georgia.
Okay.
But I was planning to go to Samford and play soccer, and I tore up my knee.
Okay.
And they were like, you can still come. We'll give you lots of t-shirts.
Sure.
But then I was like, oh, where's school freer than that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we're both Bulldogs.
So yeah, that's right.
Big dogs bark twice, right?
That's it. Have you gone down to Birmingham with them yet?
Yeah. Hopefully you're going to do a book signing down there. I'd love to go. I haven't been there yet.
Yeah. A book signing for your New York Times best-selling book.
What in the world?
Okay, tell me how they talk. Well, the title is When I Talk to God, I Talk About You. Please tell me about how you found out yesterday. Literally, we are recording this the day after you found out that you hit the list.
I have chills just hearing you say that.
I know.
It's less than 24 hours news to us.
Well, here's the thing. So, you know, Monday was a holiday.
Yes.
And then Tuesday, we were supposed to find out. And we were like, okay, has it been a week? Is it typically like 7 days?
Yeah.
And, you know, I was fortunate enough to write a book previously. And so I thought I knew what was going on, but I didn't. And then I was like, Bradley, every day I'm like, Bradley, if it doesn't happen, it's okay because it's still getting into the hands of the people who really need to read it.
That's good self-talk.
Yes.
And Bradley talk.
Yes. And I'm like, it's going to be okay. I said, but we can't deny that we would want it to happen.
Yes.
However, we don't know. So literally we're waiting and then we should know by 3. Oh, we should know by 5, which is New York time. And we're like, okay, that's 4 here. Okay.
Yeah.
And then Bradley's like, I'm going to go take Mabel, our dog, on a walk. And I was like, oh, okay. Does he think that it's not? Okay. All right. Fine. Not
he's
kidding.
He's given up hope.
he's given up hope at this point.
I had to get out of the house.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you know, I walk Mabel every day. I'm like, I know. Okay. So as soon as he gets in the car, I'm calling him because I got the email we were a New York Times bestseller.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why isn't he picking up the phone? Did he not bring it to the park? Like, what's going on? So I'm calling, and I'm like, congratulations. He's like, huh? For what? And I'm like, Bradley. And he's like, oh. And I'm like, we made it.
Yeah. We made it. So that's how we found out. And lots of nice people call us and treat us to dinner the last night, which is awesome.
Yeah, our agent.
Did your first book hit the list as well?
It did.
Yeah. So you're a 2 times New York
bestselling
author.
Don't get me crying already because you already had me crying earlier. You know, I come from very humble beginnings. Like, I grew up in a trailer park. Like, I didn't go to college.
I didn't know that. I didn't know you grew up in a trailer park.
Yeah. And I didn't go to college. And we couldn't afford to. I mean, I taught preschool and I thought early childhood education was going to be my thing. And then I just ended up really loving circle time and, you know, putting voices on when I was reading the books to the kids. And I was like, oh, maybe there's something in this. But yeah, to sort of... not to play small, because I'm learning how not to do that. Because when you do, you don't allow other people to play big, you know.
Wow.
So, I just am very grateful that people want to hear what I have to say or share. Mm. And as scary as it is, you're like, okay, I'm putting myself out there. I'm being vulnerable. But it's always when you're most vulnerable that people are most, you know, drawn. Because we're so much more alike than we are different.
Yes.
So
I listened to a podcast this morning and Pastor John Tyson said, he was quoting an older pastor and he said, set yourself on fire and everyone will come watch.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And that's it, right? That's the vulnerability that is required when you write stuff like this is like, in a way, y'all kind of set yourselves on fire.
We did.
Sure.
And and just put it in front of everyone. The playing small thing is really interesting, Chrissy, because I was on a plane yesterday and I found myself crossing my legs and crossing my arms. And I said, I'm going to cry saying this to you. I said, why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. You do not have to take up less space. And so what is it in women? And maybe, Bradley, forgive me if it isn't just in women, if you feel this ever too, but there is something in me, as loud as I am and as big as my personality is, I try to take up less space.
Uh-huh.
Why do we do that?
I don't know if it's conditioned. I don't know if it's because I'm a people pleaser, and so I want to make sure everybody else is okay. Meanwhile, I'm the one uncomfortable on the plane.
Right. I'm like, I'm the one who has a sore neck today.
Correct.
Because I crisscrossed everything that would crisscross yesterday.
Correct. I don't know what it is specifically. I think it's a myriad of things, but oh boy, is it exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when your life is so public, both of your lives are so public. I mean, you were on a television show. How many years was this as a
six?
How many years did I cry myself through every episode?
six years.
Okay,
I'm
six
sorry.
Years. 6 years where people are like, I don't know how to quit This Is Us, but I don't know how to keep doing this emotionally.
Right. I know.
But I mean, I can't imagine when you have to play a character.
Yes.
And yet internally you want to shrink.
Yes. Yeah, it's wild. It's everything. It's gratitude, it's vulnerability, it's fear, it's everything. Yeah. And also because Kate as a character was so vulnerable.
Yes.
And gratefully that's what people I think were so drawn to her because she was doing just life imperfectly. She's like, I don't got this figured out.
Yes.
And Chrissy certainly doesn't have it either. And so it's I mean, I learned obviously a lot from playing her, but also a lot from people in our society and what we need and what we want. Yeah. It's all the things.
It's all the things. I have had 11 books not hit the New York Times bestseller list.
But my gosh, 11 books.
Right. That's a lot of books.
I just talk a lot, you guys. I just have a lot of words.
And we want to hear what you have to say.
Celebrated. But the one, and so I've had one hit the list.
Yes.
And that Wednesday afternoon, so for our friends listening, if your book comes out on a Tuesday, you find out about the list the next Wednesday, end of business in New York. That day, I mean, all day yesterday, y'all just had to be like, Here it comes.
A true confession. Did you know you can buy Girl Scout cookies on Postmates?
No.
You sure can. And
let me take some notes now.
I told Bradley and we had lunch because we had a couple interviews in the morning. We had lunch. And then I was like, I don't know if they're celebratory cookies or sad cookies, but I'm going to order six boxes, baby. And we did. Yeah. And we did. So we ate cookies and not kidding, we took a nap.
What flavors?
Oh, do tell, Bradley.
Everything? Samoas, Tagalongs, Thin Mints, the classic.
Yes. Classic. They do have a new one called S'mores, which...
Score it. How's it rate amongst...
You know, I like the butter cookie, but I love a Tagalong and I love a Samoa.
I mean,
you can't compare.
I'm a Tagalong Thin Mint guy.
Yeah.
I love both.
We haven't put them in the freezer
fine,
yet.
Yes. But we're not rushing to it.
No.
That's not offensive. The Girl Scouts will be fine.
We love the Girl Scouts.
Yeah, we're pro Girl Scouts.
Listen, we supported
them.
Cookies. We supported them. If it has sugar in it's a cookie or a chocolate chip, I'm eating it. So
I wish I would meet a cookie I didn't like.
Correct.
I wish I could date as easily as I could enjoy a cookie.
Correct.
If I could just pick it and be fine. It is not right.
Correct.
Okay, why a kid's book? Why was that the thing y'all wanted to write?
Well, through us getting to know each other, a lot of things came up, like backgrounds and where we came from, and, you know, just like This Is Us, like how we are, why we are the way we are today. For me, the book came from my grandfather was very sick when I was the age that this book is written for.
Yeah.
And I saw my mom stressed, my grandmother stressed, and, you know, trauma and tragedy have no age limit to them, unfortunately. So I felt helpless. I would go to church and I'd see people praying. Mm-hmm. And I was like, can I talk to this God that everyone else is talking to that seems larger than life? Now, granted, I grew up Southern Baptist, so, you know, it's a whole other viewpoint of it now, but I didn't know if I could. And I started praying when I was a child, and I was like, am I doing it right?
Mm.
And this book, through writing it, answers a lot of that to me, that children can pray for anything. They can pray for their pets, their friends at school, their grandparents. And that's what I took out of writing it, kind of little Bradley got some answers, you know?
Wow. That's the thing is, you know, being a preschool teacher for so long, I would see sort of the pictures that the kids are drawn to or the messages. And I have a big family, 9 nieces and nephews. But I always wanted to write a children's book, always. And I wanted it to mean something. Like, it's one thing to be, you know, a great entertaining children's book because we need those too. But I was like, oh, so much of when we were getting to know each other, we realized there were a lot of things that we weren't told or not often told about, you know, who we are and how purposeful we are. Because, you know, our parents, everybody does the best they can with what they have. But
Have you been to on-site?
Yeah, girl, I have.
I was like, that sentence is an on-site sentence.
I've been there too.
Listen, this table is, we are 2 degrees different than we were before that.
Yes.
I know.
That's
so everybody's doing the best with
them. Yeah, and so I was like, how do we sort of impart love and bolster self-confidence and self-esteem through a book, but also introducing prayer, which has been so instrumental in my life, and my grandmother instilled that in me at a very young age. I mean, I was going to church by myself as like a teenager because I just was seeking something bigger and greater that could help me. And, you know, I had a bit of a tumultuous childhood with my stepfather, and I've forgiven him now, and I love him, and, you know, Godspeed and all that. But I just think that all of the ideas of wanting to impart that on young readers, and then also it's a we were driving down to Florida and I was like, I think this is really affecting like inner child stuff for me that I didn't even think about. Mm-hmm. And so I think adults also can get a lot from the book. Yeah. But initially it was just sort of, you know, what was important to me, which was prayer and my faith. And then also just knowing that you're purposeful and that you're loved, you know.
That's my content warning for our friends listening, that as an adult, I would read it one time first because I cried the first time I read it. Aww. And I thought, you don't want to do that with your four-year-old the first time.
Like, so y'all
go through the pages one time and then get it together.
You need a test run.
You need a test run to get your personal feelings out about when I talk to God, I talk about you before you're sitting with your children.
Oh, that's lovely.
Okay, tell me how y'all met. Because Bradley, you've been in Nashville. As you said, you grew up here.
I was born here.
Unicorn. We have been in circles around each other this whole time. But Chrissy, you are from here. Do you live here now?
I do live here now. Okay. I bought a home right before the pandemic. I can't believe I did something right.
Yeah.
And I did. Also, finding Bradley, I think that was a right thing. But I was going back and forth for 6 years doing songwriting. Yes. And then I finally decided, I was like, I really love it. And Florida's not very far and we can drive down to go see my family. Yeah. So we met on a dating app.
Hey, Raya.
No.
Girl, on the Bumble.
You were on... Crazy Mess was on Bumble?
Everybody says that. I'm a real person. I'm just like everybody else.
Yeah, it's not you I'm worried about. It's all the others.
I know. Well, you know, you have to kiss a lot of frogs to find a prince.
Right.
And I did that to some degree. But what was more concerning was that nobody introduced me to Bradley. We all had all the same friends.
I need you to know that I went on a date with a guy who we have a bazillion mutual friends. And I went to about three of them and I was like... What's your reason for not thinking?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because if you didn't think of this for a reason, I'd like to know that before this gets started.
Right.
Yes.
Correct.
So what did your friends say?
They were like, we thought that, they thought he might have still been married. They thought that he...
Oh, that's a good point. Yes. You don't want to introduce someone when they're married.
Correct. Which was in 2012. So.
Yeah. it'd been a while.
Thanks, friends.
Yeah. but I don't know. I don't know. They were just like, I thought maybe he was in a relationship and... Yeah, I guess it just wasn't the right time.
Yeah, Bradley, talk to me about that from your seat of the timing part. How did that matter to you, the timing part?
The timing part of when we met?
Yeah.
Well, it was the middle of pandemic, and I was thinking, you know, what? I was by myself. She had her assistant with her, and I was thinking, what better time to be on a dating app than pandemic?
Yeah.
And I knew that she was in town. I knew who she was. I didn't stalk her, but like years before, she did a guest spot in Entourage.
Co-star. Yeah. It was a co-star.
She co-starred.
I just want to be very clear because
I got the co-star.
I don't want anybody to think that I was trying to
check my IMDb.
Yeah, exactly.
So she co-starred in Entourage.
Thank you.
And whatever reason, she struck me. I was like, who is this person? And I looked her up. I'm like, okay, her name's Chrissy. She's an actress. This is her first thing I could really find. That's awesome. Kind of filed it away. Didn't think about it.
Wow.
Then This Is Us came out and I'm like, well, she's really doing something now. This is great.
You know, I'll reach out.
No, seeing the transition, but I knew that she was in town. I knew she was recording music.
Because you're in the industry as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, you know, we're going to meet each other when the time's right. And then she popped up on Bumble. And it was funny because she didn't write anything on there. Like
I wrote some things.
She wrote some things.
Maybe four or five words.
I have nothing written on Bumble.
See?
No. Men don't read that stuff.
Well, that's what I
Her thought. Pictures had like Getty watermarks on them.
Because I didn't want to get sued.
So Is this really her or am I being catfished? Right?
Oh my gosh, a Chrissy Metz catfish.
So, stranger things have happened. So we matched and started talking and I instantly knew she was who she said she was.
I mean, I'm dying that you had her filed away in your brain for years.
Well,
that's so cute. I did not know that until we started doing press around the book. I was like, oh, really?
That is so sweet.
Yeah. Not like in a stalking theme, just kind of like.
In a sweet way.
I just felt like a connection, you know.
Half of the table is not accusing you of stalking.
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Also,
not.
I think there's really something, the longer I'm a person and have men in my life, the longer I realize our brains are not the same.
Yeah.
And so men going, I filed that away. Chrissy, or, let me speak for us, maybe.
Yeah.
If I see a guy like, I mean, I'm following him on Instagram. I'm sliding in his DMs. I mean, like, I'm wasting none of the time.
Right.
And so, but men have a way more seem slow, thoughtful, let me file that away. Now
yeah.
here's my
Yeah, that's what I did. And the reason I say stalking is a news outlet said that we stalked each other, which is completely untrue. So yes. I have a little collateral damage from that. So that's why I keep saying it. But yes. Well, yeah, thank absolutely. You
for saying that. I think that sounds like God. Is yeah. what it sounds like to me.
Well, it's timing, God and timing. Things. And I was yeah. like, you know, it's going to work out. Like, because if I was like, you know, tracking her down, trying to find out where she was, yes. that would be weird.
Yeah.
You know?
You know what was weird? Waiting a month for you to ask for my phone number.
Are you saying he didn't get your phone number for a month? Y'all only talked on Bumble for a month and didn't see each other? Well, I guess yeah. pandemic. But.
Right. So there was, you know, obviously some issues, like a pandemic. My mom also was dealing with some issues, so I went down to Florida. So there wasn't, like, the right timing as far as that. But I was like, Bradley, at one point, are you going to ask me for my phone uh-huh. number? Because I think I'm like you, where I'm like, chop, chop.
What are we doing?
What are we waiting for?
Sis.
Yeah.
What are we waiting for? What I would give for us to not be recording. Go ahead. Go ahead.
What are we waiting for? And I'm sort of that
way. What were you waiting for?
It just seemed like she was traveling a lot, too. And I didn't want it to be... I felt like if you start texting immediately, then that you have to keep that going. So I wanted... Which sounds weird.
No,
nope,
you're teaching me. You are my professor right
but
now.
But it's like you have to continue with it. I knew she was traveling. And timing just didn't seem right. And I thought, well, I'll know when the time's right. And she was like, are you going to ask me for my number? I'm like, what's your number?
What we're discovering is that he's very patient. I am not. He's very punctual. I am not. We're learning a lot.
Says the people who showed up 45 minutes early. You're very punctual.
Only because of Bradley
we
Collins.
We couldn't wait to get here.
Yeah,
and we were itching. We got to get in.
We got to get in.
We have to meet her now. Yeah, no, he's teaching me some invaluable lessons. But, I mean, I do find it very sweet that... I do think that if someone wants something, like, and they want it for the right reasons,
yeah.
it's okay to be patient about it. Mm-hmm. I just need to learn that lesson.
Listen, that is not a fruit of the spirit that lives in me. That's not the tree that's growing the most fruit over here. So, okay, Bradley, so you're telling me, so after that month, then y'all started going on, then you went on a date?
Well,
it was a pandemic date. So, you know, we're
means gonna, a FaceTime date
this
initially.
We had a FaceTime date.
Because I'm not going to meet anybody that I don't FaceTime first.
Ma'am, the patience of you that for a month he didn't ask for your phone number and then it was a FaceTime date?
Correct. Because here's the thing.
Like
this
is you
why said,
the Lord's giving you this and yeah. not me. Because he's like, yeah, did you see what Chrissy did? She just waited.
No, but here's the thing. Like you were saying, for me to be on Bumble, I mean, it feels very like exposing. And so I feel like that's like the first line of defense. If I have a good conversation on FaceTime,
yeah.
it's not too awkward.
Yep.
And also a pandemic. So we couldn't even test. We didn't have vaccines. None of yeah. that was available. Yeah, yeah. So I was like, how can we safely do this? But also, if we vibe on a FaceTime, I'm sure we will in person.
Yes, yes, yes.
So
yes.
we started that. And I feel terrible about it, but he was great. A minute late only because his camera was covered. And I was like, oh, so you're a minute late? That's the first thing I say to him. It's not cute.
Because your camera was covered? Because you're safe?
Yes.
Let me tell you how safe I was.
I love this man.
I know.
I wore a face mask on the Zoom.
I know.
I wore a surgical mask. And
he's like, I'm just trying to be funny. And
I'm just trying to be funny. She's like, what's going on? I'm like, I'm just trying to be funny.
Are you okay? What? I was like, okay. I love it. It's zany. It's silly. But then I was like, well, why are you late? And he's like, I'm not late. And I'm like, well, we said that 3:00 and it's 3:01. And he's like, oh. And then I felt bad that I made you feel bad when I was just sort of kidding. Like, your mask joke was like my you being late joke.
Yeah.
And yet,
you survived it. I mean,
we survived being a minute late.
Yes.
Oh, babe.
I think everyone dating needs to hear this, and probably married friends too, needs to hear the like, you do your best and you fumble all the time.
Correct. Yeah.
And if God has a story he's writing here, he keeps writing that story even though you're human.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, but I, you know, was just, are you still upset?
No, I'm not upset. I'm not upset.
I'm like, wait, is there still something here? Because I hold on to things, so I'm projecting. But anyway, so we chatted on FaceTime, and I was like, okay, cool. And this had obviously had after we had talked on the phone.
Yeah.
And then we were going to go on our first date, and we were going to go to park and have a little picnic because we were social distancing. And of course it rained. There was a deluge.
A date got rained out.
No. Rained out. And I was like, and as a, you know, my impatience, I'm misimpatient. I was like, well, what, I've waited this long. That's like 6 weeks at this point. I'm like, what's going to happen? I was like, can I just like, do you want to come over here? He's like, no, I don't feel comfortable coming over to your place. And I'm like, oh, what a gent. Okay. I was like, so can I come over to yours?
Do you feel better if I show up at your place?
Yeah, yeah. Can I just...
I think the stalker category is over here. Yeah. Maybe. Not over to you.
Maybe so. But yeah, it got rained out. So she came over to my place and she sat in the kitchen. I sat in the living room.
I
yelled at each other.
Yeah. Legitimately. Oh, I was like, should you just open the door and then I come in so like we don't touch the doorknob?
Oh my gosh.
Like I'm such a weirdo.
No, I mean, early 2020, that's all we knew to do.
Scary.
Yeah, that's all we knew to do.
And out of a condo down in the gulch.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, it's still elevators, all that stuff is really scary.
Literally, he's in the kitchen, I'm in the living room. I'm like, so what do you want to eat? Like it was so romantic. But it was lovely because we really got to know each other.
Yeah.
Which was really something amazing that I didn't always do in relationships.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So when you were separate and praying about this, what kind of things were you saying to God?
I was just like, well, if this is supposed to be right, it'll be right and be patient. Yeah, I always want to just believe that whatever happens, it's supposed to happen the way it's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
So it's just surrendering and trusting.
Yeah, just I think patience is the biggest thing, and knowing that, you know, it's little steps, getting to know each other and getting to know what she's about and getting to tell her what I'm about was just a long process that was incredibly important. But we also had the luxury of pandemic.
Yeah.
So we had that time together to spend time and talk, and that's really how this book came about, just through getting to know each other.
Yeah, and what was important to us. I know a lot of people, you know, got divorced in the pandemic or separated. I think, you know, it either brought you together or definitely put you, you know.
Yeah, apart. I had a thing end in April of the pandemic, and I was like, we're the only people, you're the only person I'm hugging.
Right.
So if you go,
right,
what's can we wait till this is over? I was like, can you hang on?
I know.
You may not like me as much anymore, but can you hang on for like 6 more weeks? Because I'm sure this will be over. Nope. Because that's the thing is that we had these opportunities to spend concentrated time together. And that either makes or breaks.
It was an opportunity.
Right.
You know, and that's how I look at it. As COVID was awful for a lot of people.
Yep.
You'll never convince me it wasn't terrible, but the silver lining and blessing of COVID was quarantine.
Yeah.
Where we really got to spend time together.
Yeah.
And get to know each other. And also work on our
baked and,
yeah.
Yeah. It's cute.
Figure out what we're going to do on the other side of it.
So just for my own personal coaching that y'all are doing here, after the first date when in the kitchen in the living room, then did it kind of get rolling or was it, did you have to keep being patient?
No, I mean, I definitely think that we had to keep being patient. And I brought this card game over, I think it was our third date, fourth date. And I mean, maybe it was a little ambitious for our second or third or fourth date. It was a very early on date. And there's different varying degrees. It's called We're Not Really Strangers. Have you heard of those?
Oh, no.
Yeah. So there's 4 different levels. And like they get, you know, the first question is like, what did you think of my shoes when you first saw me?
Uh-huh.
You know, and then the fourth, you know, question in is like deep stuff.
Yeah.
And then like draw a picture of yourself, how you felt seeing each other.
Yeah. Or and then leave a note for whoever you're hanging out with that they can only read after you've left.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is very ambitious. And I was like, Chrissy, why did you do this?
My bad.
I'm like, can we backspace? I don't know. And so I remember seeing the note as soon as he, you know, left. I was like, opening up the note so fast. And it was like, I'm looking forward to spending more time with you. And it was like so sweet and just the right, you know, it wasn't too much. It was just enough.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, maybe he likes me. I never think anybody likes me. And I'm like, I'm working on it. But I'm like, oh, this is really nice. Like just to really enjoy the person as the person, really getting to know them and having, you know, a lot of things in common, but a lot of things that weren't. And it's nice to just let that like unfold. And we slowly started like spending more time together and cooking and baking.
I mean, it was the most wholesome dating experience.
It was very wholesome.
I mean, we would drive out in the country and go get peaches.
Yeah.
You know, because you couldn't do anything else, you know? And I think not having to, you know, go out to restaurants and everything else to be able to focus on talking was so important in the very beginning. That sounds fun.
Y'all, I love when my Thrive Market box shows up at my door because it means some of my favorite snacks and cleaning supplies have arrived. And I didn't even have to leave my house. Thrive Market has these protein shakes that I like. I'm addicted to. Plus, I'm on a bit of a gluten-free journey, as you know, so they have a ton of gluten-free snacks that I love, like all the Simple Mills crackers and Siete chips. I save money on every order. There is a deals page that I always check out almost daily. It's embarrassing. And I typically save about 30% on every order. Here's the other thing I love. Thrive Market only allows trusted top-quality ingredients while restricting 1,000-plus harmful ingredients like artificial flavors, high-fructose corn syrup, and more. So whether you're looking for organic kids snacks or low sugar alternatives or high protein essentials, you can curate your own shopping experience with a few clicks and trust that you're getting quality products so you can shop worry-free. Save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/thatsoundsfun for 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift. That's thrivemarket.com/thatsoundsfun. thrivemarket.com/thatsoundsfun. Y'all, we all love something that is customized to us. Getting our favorite outfit tailored to fit just right, getting a custom piece of art for your house, listening to a playlist that's customized for us based on what we like to listen to. So why not use custom hair care? We all have different hair textures and types, and switching to a custom hair care routine has been so helpful for me. Like, my hair looks healthier and shinier. Plus, Pros also has custom skincare, which is so great because we definitely all have different needs for our skin too. With Pros, it is all about personalization. You do their in-depth consultation and they come up with your made-to-order products. There are millions of possible formulas, but only one is uniquely yours or mine. Pros isn't just better for you, it's better for the planet. They're a certified B Corp, they're cruelty-free, and they're the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. Pros is so confident that they will bring out your best hair and skin that they're offering an exclusive trial of 50% off your first subscription order, you guys. Just go to pros.com/thatsoundsfun so you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/thatsoundsfun. That's PROSE.com/thatsoundsfun.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with the King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Were you afraid to do a relationship again after a divorce?
No. I mean, I was married in 2012, divorced in 2013.
Okay.
So that was just a time in my life that I learned a lot. That's how I view it. I just ended up with the wrong person. But it did.
Was it the wrong person?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what? Okay.
Yeah. It was. We just weren't matched for the long term. And it's a whole other podcast subject. But, you know, it's. Dating after getting divorced is weird because for a couple of years after that, I was like, can I be here? Can I be out with my friends? And can I go out and do this?
Right.
Like, you know, and a lot of time I didn't want to, but enough time had passed. And I realized that that was a learning experience, you know, something that I take a lot from that there's better things out there. And obviously there are.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, I was married for 5.5 years previously.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. And
in L.A.?
In L.A. And we're still friendly, and he's a wonderful human, just not my forever person. You know, and he even said, like, if you were going through all of this sort of stardom and show, he's like, I would not be able to navigate that.
Wow.
And I'm so glad that he said that to me, and it's nice. But, like, in hindsight, I'm like, oh, I learned so much from that relationship that I get to take and bring to our relationship and just to be a better person and partner and friend. And so I'm really grateful. And I do believe all of the relationships and everything is a lesson.
Yeah, everything. That's right.
Yeah. Mine definitely served a purpose.
Yeah. Know,
definitely did. And to be where I am now, I would do it all over again. But I don't think I would have said that in 2012.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And Chrissy, I'm thinking about that. If This Is Us happened after your divorce, there had to be this place in the middle of devastation of is my life ever going to be?
Oh.
Right?
Absolutely. And I think that if we were still, my ex-husband and I were still married, I don't I was so supportive of what he was doing because I was so afraid to step out on faith that I think that I would have just been working, you know, I was agenting. I became an agent's assistant and became an agent for 9 years. And I think I would just be doing that.
Did you move out there to act and you stepped into agenting?
Because I needed
a
job.
Yourself small.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Miniature. Dude. Yeah. And
That's not true of all agents, just for any of our agents listening. Well, that's not an agent statement.
No, but that's a story that we have in common, our backgrounds. But really? Yeah, I was a music executive for 16 years.
Yeah.
And I was always helping people getting in writer rooms, signing people, signing artists, getting them publishing deals. And every single time I do that, I'll be like, what am I doing? Wow. This is not what I want to do. And making myself small because I didn't believe that I had the talent or ability to do what I'm doing now.
Wow. Yeah, it's scary because you think, well, if I've given myself an opportunity to even try and I fail, then what? But if I don't ever try, I will never know.
But that's the greatest gift you give yourself.
Yeah. It's a scary
opportunity.
Yes. It's a scary thing to step out and try that. But if we were still married, there's no way that I would have my career.
Will you talk about that? Because again, I want to say to people, being a publisher, being an agent isn't the problem.
No.
Those are great jobs. And if that's what God's called you to,
amen.
You are taking the opportunity. Yes. It's when you say, I'm going to be an agent because
I need a job.
Actually want to be, I need a job and I actually want to be an actress.
Just want to stay in LA.
So you moved out there.
Mm-hmm.
How old were you when you moved out there?
21.
From Florida?
Yes. Gainesville, Florida.
And then you were Gainesville, Florida. Uh-oh. Gators.
Yeah, I know.
Gators
I was stuff. Like, I know she's a bulldog, but it's okay. It's okay. You guys are amazing.
I'm a Tennessee fan. So
that's it. The pyramid is Jesus. If we have Jesus at the top, I can deal with other
SEC rules. You got it all covered.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. So you move out there.
Yes.
And so you're agenting these other actors and actresses
yes.
going out and doing jobs that you're like, I would audition for that too.
Oh, you don't understand. I always tell the story, but I literally felt like my boyfriend was taking another woman out every day because they're getting the auditions that I wish I had and they're going out to, potentially, establish a career. And I'm like, wow. But I also realized I learned so much from behind that desk.
Yeah.
I got to form relationships I never would have before. And now as, obviously an actress that I can read contracts and I can understand like, I don't think this is fair. I think the exclusivity on this and, so it's very helpful. And then Devon Franklin, who produced the movie Breakthrough, he always said that you have to learn to carry a crown before you can wear one.
Wow.
And that was like, oh, that's what I was doing.
Yes.
Oh, I was helping everybody else. I was being of service. Okay. Yes. We thank you, God.
Yes.
And now this is my time because I don't think at 21 years old, I would have known at all what in the world to do.
Yeah.
I'd have been like lost as the day is long.
Talk about the day you decided not to do agenting anymore and to go for an audition.
Well, so process. I would probably have a handful of auditions. Most actors have like handful of auditions a day, but I was always very specific. And so when my former coworker said to me, Dan Fogelman has this pilot, would you want to audition for it? And I said, if you can actually get me a series regular audition, I would of course go, but are you kidding me? I don't have a I have like three guest stars, a couple co-stars. Like, it's not gonna happen. I never tested for a show before. And she's like, I really think you're right for this. And so I was like, if you get the audition, I'm going. And I went, and it was great and fine audition, but I didn't think anything of it. But it really wasn't until booking This Is Us was I like, oh, I can really like maybe potentially work as an actor.
So do you have to call your agency and be like, hey, I need to quit?
Well,
I'm Kate.
I was, no, because I had a 5-episode arc on American Horror Story, the fourth season.
Okay.
And then I took some time and I was like, okay, to all my clients.
Yeah.
I just want to let you guys, you're going to be taken care of. But like, also I'm really sort of trying to pursue acting in a real way. And they, of course, were so sweet and understanding. I'm like, thank you. And then nothing happened for a year. And then the This Is Us audition happened. And I was like, well, and I was about to move back home to Florida. I was like, I'll just teach preschool again or something. Not 2 weeks before.
Gosh.
Yes. Seriously. I was like, I've been here 12 years. Usually it's a 10-year, overnight success. Maybe it's just not for me. And maybe I'm delusional. And so, it was really booking This Is Us. And not that we knew that it was going to A, get picked up or B, successful. Because you don't ever know when you book a job. But I remember, calling my mom and calling my best friend and saying that I booked the job. And I was like, this might be it. Like, this might be the sort of turning point in my career. Fingers, toes, everything crossed. So that was sort of like the monumental moment of my career.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. I still can't believe it.
If you'd have moved home.
Forget it.
Him? New York Times?
I know.
All the things. Kate?
Yes.
We wouldn't have you. You wouldn't be our Kate. You're the only Kate I would have ever wanted.
Oh, that's the nicest thing.
Bradley, what was your transition to songwriting?
Well, it took a long time. Yeah. I was at a company called BMI for 16 years, and I was executive there. And I had the best year of my career. I'd signed artists that are going on world tours right now, and I signed the Songwriter of the Year 10 years before that. And I showed up one Friday afternoon, and I got fired. And I was like, what in the world is going on? But my personality had changed so much because I was so not doing what I was supposed to be doing. I sank into a clinical depression, and they got me out for political reasons. But, you know, it took me 3 or 4 years of just trying commercial real estate, trying music publishing. When I was sitting on my couch in pandemic, and I was just so scared because I had nothing happening. I was like, well, songwriting is something I've always wanted to do and always respected but never gave myself the opportunity. I was praying about it, and I was like, nobody has gone about it this way to become a successful songwriter. And in the prayer, it came to me. It said, just because no one has been on this path before doesn't mean it's not your path. And that to me was just eye-opening.
Wow.
And
what a kind thing for God to say.
Yeah, and it's... That thing is, that idea has carried me through every car ride I do. Every time I doubt myself, I think about, you know, what God said to me then. And it's really powerful. And it helps me a lot. And I share that willingly because I feel like so many people now, especially, are trying new things they never thought they would do before because we realize how fragile life is, but just because you can't say, oh, well, she did this and he did this and then that happened, and you can't see it in yourself, it doesn't mean it's not what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, that's right. Why does that do that to you?
It's so hard. It's so hard when you want to do something and you're like, your body's literally telling you to like try something new, but it's scary.
So scary.
It's so scary. And like, who's going to believe in you and who's going to, you know, follow you and who's going to think that you're worthy of whatever it is that you want to do? And you're like, okay, God, myself, okay, that should be enough. But sometimes it's not.
Yeah. And at the time when I was there at the company, I knew I was destined for something else. I couldn't know. I wasn't sure what it was. But that doubt and not following what I wanted to do sent me into a clinical depression. And it was just... It was so tough to show up to work every day, but I did.
Yeah.
And then I'm so glad I don't have to go there anymore.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just hard. It can be hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so for you guys, let's talk about on-site for a second.
Yes.
While we're talking about this, did y'all go when you were already a couple?
No. I did my own thing.
Oh, okay.
I just actually during December, this past December, I went.
Oh, you're fresh out.
Yeah, fresh out.
You're going to be fine.
Yes.
Don't worry. It gets easier.
Honestly,
it feels less raw.
Yeah, it was. I did a project over the summer that really was traumatic for me.
Oh, wow.
I knew from the beginning I shouldn't have done it. I sort of was interested in the script because it was different. And I was like, oh, I'm going to challenge myself. But I just knew that in my soul, I shouldn't have done it. And unfortunately, you sign a contract and you're a part of it and you have to do it. And now there's hundreds of people who are relying on you because they have now signed on to the project.
Yes, yes.
And so I was like, I want to finish what I start. But anyway, it was very traumatic for me. And it brought up a lot of stuff that I hadn't really gone through and processed, I should say. And so I'd been wanting to go. And luckily, I'd met Miles at the grocery store.
Yeah.
He's like, well, you know, let me know if you ever want to. Oh, so, I mean, just his, like, the way he speaks. I'm like, this is so, like, calming and wonderful. And so I reached out and I was like, okay, I actually have time. I actually have a week and I really think I need it. And so luckily I was able to get in. And it was not only is it amazing to not have your phone for a week.
Yeah.
The people that you meet there. And I went through the group program.
Oh, you did? You did the Living Center group?
I did. And it was like...
You did
like,
Bumble version of counseling,
Oh, yeah,
too.
Yeah. Listen, I don't play.
Yeah.
Like, that's one thing is, like, if I do something, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And that was suggested to me. And I'm so glad because I learned so much from everyone else in that room.
Same. Did you do the same? Did you do Living Centered?
No, I did the individual intensive.
I think I want to do that next.
Yeah.
I think that's on my to-dos.
Yeah. I was like, I'm glad I started with the group because not only did I make some great friends and learn so much, there were some things that were said to me in my process that like were so healing
yes.
that I never would have heard or been a part of. Yes. Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing.
I tell people a lot about the group therapy that you think you're going to be in your feels for 5 days, but you actually are in other people's feels 7 out of 8 times. So you're going to be fine.
Yes.
You only have to get in your own stuff 1 out of 8 times. Yes. It's great.
But the understanding and the empathy from hearing other people's perspectives was so monumental for me. I was like, oh, maybe I misunderstood my father at this point.
Yeah.
Maybe he misunderstood me at
this
point.
Having other people play that. Yes. Yeah. I did a thing where one person in our group lined up all their romantic partners, and we were playing them.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Right? Yes. And then they had a conversation with each romantic partner, and I got to play the one that was kind of the rescue partner, that was the one who brought the person out of a hard relationship. And when I tell you I sobbed because I felt so loved, even though it was, I was like, it was that experience of going, oh, this is what it feels like when someone loves you like that. That has changed me, even though I was just playing someone's romantic partner and it wasn't even me.
That's why they always say trust the process, because when you get there, you're like, what in the world is this? I'm here for it, but what?
Yes.
And then I'm like, oh, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
And like, it's really hard to explain unless you've experienced it, but it is... It's magical.
Yeah.
It was life-changing.
The intensives. So is it just you and a therapist for a couple of days?
It was just me and a therapist. And, you know, I don't mind saying this. I didn't have a great experience at on-site.
Yeah.
It was, I think I was matched with the wrong people or the wrong week,
whatever.
And I kept saying, I'm not getting anything out of this, not getting anything out of this. And their advice was I needed to come back another week. And I was like, and that just sank me even more because I didn't feel like they cared, but you hear Chrissy's experience. I hear so many other friends' experiences that I know I'm in the minority of on-site experiences, but I feel like if you've never done therapy before or you're new to it or have something new to work through, it's a great place to go.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's really honest. Thank you for saying that, because I think people need to hear that everybody has different experiences at all these different places.
It's not a magic bullet. It's it's not going to go.
Neither's therapy, right?
No.
Yeah. No.
It's not. But
and it depends on where you're at, too.
Yeah.
You know, like where you're at as a person and what therapy experience you've had previously. Who you're matched with.
Bradley, I'm sorry that was your experience.
I know. I
but
hate
it's
that.
My
I'm
experience,
sorry.
And my experience has helped other people.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm like, you're not going to go there and just expect to, you know, work out 40 years of trauma.
In 3 days.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's right.
I think my experience was for other people.
Yeah. I think that's true for counseling, too, is I say to people, like, you can't go in expecting, like, all the problems you've had to be solved in four appointments.
No.
Like, that's just not it. And that's also not what counseling's for.
Yeah.
That's not the, you know, it is way more processing and living and so.
Yeah, because you have to put it into practice.
Yeah.
It's like, it's great when you're in a curated week where everything's sort of ideal.
Yeah.
But then putting it into practice when you come into your real life, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
And they even tell you that, like, you might change a bit.
Yes.
And it might change over time.
Yeah.
And so I feel like they're very realistic in that. And you also have to put the work in.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
you could have all the books and all this and that, but if you don't read them and if you don't do your homework,
that's
and
it.
You don't put it into your life.
That's it.
It's like
that's it for the Bible too, right?
Yeah,
like,
yes.
It may be on your shelf. It ain't gonna help
but
you
how
that
do
much
live?
If it stays there.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So what's next for y'all? We've got this kid's book. Or I mean, you're writing songs.
I'm writing songs. We have an album that goes along with this.
Yes.
Called Prayed for This Day.
Oh.
And it's Chrissy's first album.
Yeah. Like a first complete project. Because I've, you know, been coming back and forth and was on a label for a little bit and we put some songs out and then now this, you know, we're putting this out independently, which is also a feat in itself. And we got the privilege to work with Phil Barton.
Yeah.
And Liz Rose wrote several songs with us. And
Liz Rose.
Runaway
she
June.
She is the bomb.
Y'all wrote with Runaway June too.
Yes. We have one song with them on there.
Jen Wayne wrote, and then Natalie played the fiddle on one of them. And then we did harmonies on the rest of the song. But
and it's called Prayed for This Day.
It's the album.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yay. Good.
And they're all songs taken from the book and, you know, for self-esteem, but also we have a song called Learning to Be Brave, which is also a very important through line and that you're not going to be brave overnight, but you can learn to be brave and, you know, one foot in front of the other and suiting up and showing up. But the one we wrote with Runaway June is called No Matter What, which I find very important because that's something that was really striking for me, that no matter what you choose to do with your life, that, you know, you're loved no matter what. And
you're wanted
you become,
to be here.
You're wanted. And so anyway, it's a very special project that we had the opportunity to do together over the winter break, which was really nice too.
Yeah, and the artwork on the album is the same illustrator that did the book.
Oh wow,
Lisa
yeah.
Fields.
Yeah,
she's amazing.
I mean, these animals are beautiful.
Oh, she's amazing.
Yeah. And what we're seeing is no matter how young the child is hearing it,
yeah.
the book, they're responding to the animals.
Yes, yeah. that's it. That's you it. Know? Kids love animals.
They love that pictures
for sure. Yeah.
But that was very intentional on our part to have the animals as a soft delivery. Yeah. You know, instead yeah. of having you know children or something
yes.
else.
Yeah,
it's also that's inclusive.
Really smart. Right.
You know, everybody right. is seen and heard that way. Yeah, that was also really beautiful. Important. And the fireflies. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
The fireflies. Well, being from Tennessee, you know there's fireflies. Depending on where you're from, they're fireflies or lightning bugs.
Lightning bugs, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So we didn't give Lisa much instruction or direction because we're like, she's great. We're going to do it. But the one thing we kept saying is we need more lightning bugs. And as you go through the book, their prominence starts coming through.
Yeah.
But it's what it tells is the warm slave light of God always around us.
Yes.
And it's really, really, really special for
us. Yeah, the page with the raccoon, your prayers are heard day or night. God's by your side, a warm, safe light.
That's it.
And then fireflies everywhere. And she drew them just right.
I know.
Lit up butts.
Yeah.
Just right.
The way that she can manipulate and play with light, with color, is mind-boggling.
It's beautiful. I'm ready for, like, the plush toys. I'm ready for, like, the balloon on the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Girl,
let's do it.
I literally, pray it into existence because I'd love to have, like, a sequel or an animated show or something, you know.
More acting coming for you?
Yeah, I'm hoping so, you know.
Do we have to just go back and forth for auditions?
Well, no, usually now we can tape them.
Oh, self-tape. Thank you,
yes,
Pandemic.
Thank goodness.
Yes, of course, yeah.
And then you could do, like, your best take.
Right.
You know, there's some scripts I'm reading, and I'm really interested in doing a one-woman show.
Oh, wow.
And incorporating my own personal music.
Yeah.
So we're sort of developing that right now, and we'll
That's
see.
Awesome.
You know, pie in the sky till it happens.
Yeah.
But just trying to be creative. But also, it's hard to come from a show like This Is Us. And to be a part of another project that, I mean, nothing's ever going to be This Is Us. And it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
But I want to be intentional about what else. Because that project I did over the summer was very jarring for me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to be a little more discerning.
Breakthrough was great.
Thank you.
That
was wonderful to do.
It was really good.
Thank you.
That was an incredible story. I was like, I cannot.
I still can't believe it. And it's true.
I know. That's the
thing. I know them.
It's real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What did we not say that you want to make sure we say? Did we forget anything?
Anything?
I don't know. Well, we covered a lot.
I know. We really
I know.
Zigzagged around. I loved it. That was fun.
You're so good at
Do we have time for the questions?
Oh, yeah. We're going to do what sounds fun to you. You ready for it?
Yeah. I'm ready for the questions.
Okay. Then you'll go first, Bradley. Because the show is called That Sounds Fun, tell me what sounds fun to you.
What sounds fun to me? Gosh, in like a normal day or just...
Sky's the limit.
Sky's the limit. I guess for me, I love writing songs.
Yeah.
So writing a song that is meaningful... that I keep playing over and over again to me. That's a great way to start the day. And then, I don't know. Spending time with Chrissy and our dog.
Oh,
yeah. I agree. That's a good answer.
You guys can't see this, but Bradley's and this is something else I love about him, is he's very emotional and very vulnerable. I'm like, you can't even see his little tears coming out the side of his eyes. Sorry, babe. It's just so sweet. I just love it.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah. You know,
that sounds fun.
Honestly, crying is fun to me.
Is it? I mean,
I love it.
It's just so sweet to be that loved, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think what's fun is doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
What you're meant to be doing. And, you know, I'm 44. It took me 42 years to find out what I'm supposed to be doing. Despite the fact that when I was 4 years old, I told my mom I wanted to write songs.
Wow.
So.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, Morgan Freeman, first starring role, 50 years old.
It's
never too late.
Yeah, we got 60 more years. Yeah. We got a long.
It is never too late.
Yeah.
I heard a very interesting story about Morgan Freeman.
Okay, tell us.
He is tired of leaving people's voice messages. Like, he is tired of being like, you have called Annie F. Downs. He's like, he won't do it anymore.
I can't imagine.
Well, because he has
that voice. And everybody be like, is that Morgan Freeman?
Yeah.
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 Okay, Chrissy, because the show is called That Sounds Fun, tell me what sounds fun to you.
Honestly, I love music so much. Yes. And what Bradley was saying about songwriting, I just think it's the most magical thing to go into a room and 4 hours later you have a piece of art that never existed before.
That didn't exist before.
But also what sounds fun is sleeping. Also, okay. What sounds fun is laying on my couch and watching TV.
Yes.
And hanging out with my dog.
Yeah.
And eating Girl Scout
cookies.
I mean,
y'all have been in book launch mode for some time.
Yeah, so. About almost a month. Almost over a month, actually. Yeah. But also, I love seeing live music.
Yeah.
Love it. It's so inspiring for me. And I just went to the Leslie Jordan tribute.
Yeah, was it good?
It was so special.
Yes.
Oh, it was so special.
Yeah.
And it's actually, this is a really cute thing I have to say. I think he was texting TJ Osborne a picture, and it was him in this fancy gold suit.
Yeah.
And he said, look, I'm Portable Wagner. And I cried laughing. Like, what a gem and a joy of a human.
Yes.
So, yeah, sleeping, music, eating cookies.
Okay. Well, also TV. I need to know, what did TV stars watch on TV?
Okay, we've been watching Slow Horses.
I don't
Slow
even Horses. Know about it, it's but I Apple. Love
Gary
the title.
Oldman. What'd you say, babe?
It's on Apple.
Oh, yeah, it's on Apple. Gary Oldman is the star, and it's sort of like these wayward agents.
Misfit, like FBI, but in England.
But like adjacent, great. Like sort of were pushed out of
Peaky
like.
Peaky Blinders?
I don't. No? I didn't watch that.
Okay.
But
okay.
That's.
But British. I mean, yes, British. Yes, I yes. can also go The Crown, because that's also British.
Yeah, we also been watching 1923.
Obsessed with 1923.
Are you up to date?
Obsessed.
Are you up to date?
Obsessed. I have one to go, but you can say okay. it. You can
oh, no,
it.
No, no. My sister is not caught up, and I'm like, yes. Oh, my gosh, did I just give something away?
No. All of them. 1923, 1883.
Yes.
The 1883 where she's playing the piano as they're crossing the river. That is a scene that Taylor Sheridan will go down in infamy for it. So
it was just, it's very, very emotional for me. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But also the way people lived, and like also the way that Indigenous people were treated, like that stuff is.
That part of 1923 is
so hard.
It's almost
unwatchable.
Yeah. It is so much worse than I ever knew.
Yeah. And so. That we probably ever will know.
Yes.
Gosh, yeah. But I think that's what we've been watching.
Yeah.
Watching that, yeah.
We do love Survivor.
Yeah.
We cannot, we cannot play.
I think it comes back tonight. Or
March 1st, baby.
You guys.
March 1st.
We are not playing.
Who is still watching Survivor?
Christy Metz and Bradley Collins.
We're 27 years later. Sequoy, that's it. Good on you. Go down. I mean, I'm still watching Grey's Anatomy, so I'm playing the violin on that
it.
Titanic.
Yeah,
so okay. I am with you. Survivor.
No,
great.
No judgment.
What country are they in currently?
I think they're going to Fiji.
They're in Fiji, I think.
So.
And then we also watch Amazing Race.
Yeah.
Which is so cool to see the last episode end in Nashville.
That was cute. See,
and Jen. And then Jen. And yeah.
Happened to be on it.
Y'all, thanks for doing this.
You thank
are welcome
you so
back
much
here
for having us,
anytime.
Annie. Thank you.
It was such a treat. That was just such a treat
so
fun.
Thank you.
Oh, y'all, don't you love them? Okay, be sure to grab copies of When I Talk to God, I Talk About You. Stuff every Easter basket. Get it in your teacher's classrooms. Put it everywhere you can get your hands on. And follow Chrissy and Bradley on social media so you can tell them thanks for being on the show. So, okay, we heard what sounds fun to Chrissy and Bradley, and now we get to hear what sounds fun to one of our friends who's listening, just like you. Okay, Carrie, because the show is called That Sounds Fun, tell me what sounds fun to you.
I'm Carrie from Portland, Oregon, and what sounds fun to me is going to a cabin in the mountains where there's no cell service, so no one can be on their phones, and bring like a bunch of my girlfriends and spend a weekend like playing games and reading and hiking during the day, but sitting around the fire pit at night and just talking and laughing until late at night.
Are you a let's go to a cabin and eat food in the cabin like we're here? Or are you like a let's go to the cabin and go out to eat?
I can do both, but I think that this particular one, we're kind of out in the middle of nowhere, so it's going to be a cook our own food, stay in the cabin type thing.
Snacks for
you
days.
You have to set the expectation for whatever the weekend is.
Right.
If we're going to go out and about, great, but this one, I think,
this
you know,
one
let's
we're staying
stay
in.
It.
Oh, good answer. Yep, yep. Well done, Carrie. That's so good. Oh, man, that was a good one. If you need anything else from me, you know I'm embarrassingly easy to find you guys. Annie F. Downs on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and apparently 3 times a week here with you. And that sounds fun. Every day over at Let's Read the Gospels, all the places you may need me, you guys. That is how you can find me. I think that's it for me today, friends. Go out or stay home and do something that sounds fun to you, and I will do the same. Today, what sounds fun to me actually is reading some chapters of the Gospels. I haven't done it in a week or so, and I cannot wait to get to keep working on April as y'all are listening to March. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll see you back here tomorrow with my friend Inez Franklin. Oh, I can't wait for y'all to hear this one. We'll see y'all then.